All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Visual Novel Corner. We've got Fatal 12, which I need to let you guys know does not have any sexual content. This is an all-ages visual novel. There is no sexual content. So like that old Michael Jordan gif, stop it. There is not going to be any sexual content on Fatal 12. Because I kept wondering why people are so into this one for some reason. And they kept saying, where's the hentai? There is no hentai. You can look it up on vndb.org and you will find that Fatal 12 is an all-ages visual novel. It's 15+. 15+ means it can have adult situations, but it will not have any sexual content. 18+ visual novels will have sexual content. Also, some visual novels like DSRA have both a 15 and an 18 version. The 18 version will have the sexual scenes. The 15+ version will not have the sexual scenes. They may be completely different versions of the game with different features, like one may have voice acting and one may not. This is very common in visual novels. They get constantly remade and retooled all the time. So, we will continue to play Fatal 12 the way it was, or the way it has been. Naomi. Oh, hey Naomi. Turns out to be Naomi. The culture festival isn't far off at this point, so it's about time she starts teaching her classmates how to brew coffee themselves. That's why we've made a deal to have her come over to Lion House as much as possible this week. She normally waits for me at the gate, so it's kind of surprising to see her come straight to my classroom. Now that I think about it, will everything I'm teaching Naomi right now be undone if I get eliminated? Based on what Park has said, it's all but guaranteed. If that's true, then why am I even bothering? Is something wrong? Sorry. That's right. Sorry, it's nothing. I can't keep acting like this. Mal caught me spacing out earlier today, too. Sorry for the wait. Let's go. Rinka. Miharu stops me as I'm standing up. What's up? Are you going home with her? Yep. Yep, she'll be practicing her brewing skills again today. Let's ask if she wants to join. Want to join us? Assuming you're free, of course. Not like there'll be many customers in the first place, and I'm all for us hanging out together. At first she looks happy about the offer, but it quickly shifts to disappointment. As much as I'd love to, I have to work today. But I might be able to get someone to fill in for me if I ask right now. She whips her phone out to check mid-sentence. No need to cancel work for this. All we do is chat anyway, so let's do it another time. Yeah, that sounds good. No take-backs, okay? Her tone is a bit poignant. Not that I blame her. It's entirely possible that one of us could be eliminated during the next round. I leave the classroom after saying goodbye to Miharu. I'm sure Mal would have tagged along, but it seemed like she's busy with something else today as well. While on her way to Lion House, Naomi blurts out something I don't expect. I should probably apologize to her later. To Miharu? Why? Well, it seemed like she wanted to talk to you about something in private. Well, I wish she could have come, but there's not much you can do about her having to go to work. Don't blame yourself. That's not quite what I meant, though. Oh, so what made you come meet me in my classroom today?
Just
I figured it would be best to meet with you as soon as possible, but I'll make sure to wait for you at the gate from tomorrow on. Huh? Why? Naomi struggles to find the words that answer my question. After a number of false starts, she simply tells me, "Never mind." It's worth noting that she actually seems a bit aggravated, a rarity for her. Unbeknownst to both Rika and Naomi, there's a girl secretly watching them from the school gate. It was Mishima Miharu, known at Amaka High for her looks and admission via scholarship. To many, she is the embodiment of perfection. However, this perception has made her somewhat difficult to approach for them, especially now as tears stream down her cheeks for all to see. A scenario likely to become the locus of many rumors that involves anyone other than Miharu. If it involves anyone other than Miharu. In fact, it is such an unusual sight that no one will dare mention it at all. Yo, Miharun, didn't think you'd still be here. Amongst the crowd of students pretending they haven't seen anything, Oguma Mao is the only one to address her. Her attitude remains consistent, even the presence of her friend crying without uttering a word. Maharu's focus never shifts, despite Mao's presence. As such, Mao follows her line of sight, only to give a sage nod after seeing the two figures it led to. So that's what it is. Hey, Mao. If I were to die, I'd want it to be from having earned Rinka's love. Her voice quivers as she says this to Mao. Her words lack even the slightest hint of exaggeration. Mao is well aware that she has simply let her true feelings slip out. Maharu's words fail to faze her. She responds as she always does. Did we miss something? Summary. I think we might have made many percent. Yeah, anyway, Maharu's words fail to face her. She responds as she always does. Well, guess you can't die just yet. She opts not to wait for Maharu's reply and walks off. And not because she doesn't care, she understands that Maharu sees no merit in sitting down to hash things out or go and sing karaoke to shout those inner feelings out loud. Instead, she leaves Maharu to digest those simple words. Maharu doesn't think of Mao as being cold for doing so either. In fact, she feels absolutely nothing at all about her. The only thing in her heart is Rinka, who gradually sinks into the horizon. Hello? Hello? You realize no one else works here, right? Naomi drops her things off at the counter before donning the apron she's brought from home. I fill in the regulars about the culture festival and tell them not to worry about Naomi's presence. In exchange for my teaching her, she's offered to help out with dishwashing and other simple tasks for around an hour or so. I've told her not to bother, but she insists on it. It's got to the point where it'd feel rude to keep turning her down, so we decided on a time for her to help me out. Here's how things typically go when Naomi's around. We open at 4 p.m. on the weekdays, and the hour or so after that, it's either completely dead or we have very few customers inside. That's when we either brew some coffee together, or she reads up on different types of coffee beans. The latter is more out of personal interest than anything else, since it won't come in handy for the culture festival. Around 6 p.m., the regulars who are just finishing up work start dropping by. So that's when I have her help out for just an hour. Afterwards, she kills some time either studying or reading books. Sometimes we chat when I've got the time, too. That's how things went last week anyway. Right, let's get started. Oh, can I show you something first? She takes something out of her bag after I nod. It's a transparent plastic bag. Inside are a number of cookies made in the shapes of stars and hearts. Oh, these are cute. They're, my way of saying thanks. I made them at home yesterday. I untie the red ribbon after she hands me the bag. A sweet smell wafts through the room as soon as I do so. Yeah. Would you like to have some together after we brew coffee? Assuming you're fine with sweet things, of course. I'd love to. Thanks. I tie the bag back up to prevent the cookies from getting splashed with water while we're brewing. Said, I even made sure to use your favorite color for the ribbon. Huh? Huh? How'd you know that? Wow, you actually thought I wouldn't have known? Leaving the cookies somewhere visible, I start the brewing process. Yep, you've got this down pretty well now. You should be able to teach the others, no problem. No way. I'd much rather practice some more. This may be a method for beginners, but we know how clumsy I can be. She can act as humble as she wants, but it's a fact that she's improving. I'm rather impressed by how well she manages it when she's properly focused. I wouldn't be surprised if she shot right ahead of me if it were my grand teaching her. This feels like a good time for a break. I've been looking forward to those cookies of yours. We have no customers right now, so it's the perfect moment to take a break. Can't say for sure if that's a good or bad thing, though. I place the cookies onto a plate and carry them over to our usual seats along with some coffee. After appreciating how great they look, I finally take a bite. Oh! Someone hits Naomi's panic button as she awaits my reaction. These are great. I'm not good at making dramatic reactions, so this is the best I can do. Naomi's eyes shimmer with excitement that matches her beaming smile. What a relief! I have a sip of my coffee before taking another bite. Oh, actually... Is something the matter? These pair with coffee quite well, don't they? I'm struggling to find a reason why, though. Yes, I made them with extra butter so they would complement the bitter coffee you make. She lets out another sigh of relief, brushing her hand down her chest. I'm so glad you like them. There's no way I wouldn't when you went ahead and made... Hold on. There's no way I wouldn't when you went and made them for me. There are a few too many for me to eat alone, so we end up eating them together. Baking sweets is apparently one of her favorite pastimes. She can bake a whole bunch of things, but cookies seem to be her specialty. It reminds me that my gran used to bake cookies as well. Granted, the taste was completely different from these. These are simple and mellow, much like Naomi, but at the same time, they don't feel as if they were made by someone not used to baking. An idea hits me once we're about halfway through the plate. Would you mind teaching me how to bake these? Our customers would probably be thrilled to see more sweets on the menu. Learning directly from Naomi rather than trying to do so on my own is a much more realistic approach, too. And most importantly, I want our regulars to taste just how good these are. However, I can't help but remember Divine Selection when Naomi stares at me in utter amazement. Even if she does teach me, it'll all be for nothing if I get eliminated. Sorry, forget I asked. There's no way I can tell her about the possibility of me dying, but I'm awfully close to doing so. There's definitely a part of me that figures if I could lift some of the weight off my shoulders... Hold on. There's definitely a part of me that figures I could lift some of the weight off my shoulders if I told someone about all of this. Why? Her overjoyed expression quickly clouds over as she draws her face close to mine. I must look like I am mulling something over, so I rush to find a way to respond.
いつまでも、ナオミの時間をもらうわけにもいかないしね。
I can't keep taking up your time like this. Things can't continue this way forever. That's not what you're really thinking, is it? Huh? Besides, I'm the one who asked you to teach me first. That and, well, she struggles a bit before continuing. Sorry, I'm just not quite sure how to put this. Don't worry about it. I want us to keep spending time together. Her eyes immediately shoot to the floor, almost as if she's let the words fall out by accident. Sorry, something about me has been strange lately. You might just be tired if I made you do stuff you're not used to. Want to head home for today? That's not it. She takes a small breath, raises her head back up, and looks me dead in the eyes. Her expression is almost oppressive. Forgive me for asking out of the blue, but could you hear me out for a moment? Sure. I've been having an awful nightmare a lot lately. A nightmare? Yes. It always starts out normal, with the two of us getting on the train and chatting away. But then, a fire breaks out all of a sudden. The flames spread throughout the entire train, and the heat alone makes it painful to breathe. But then, you dive in front of me and shield me from the flames, only to be engulfed by them in my place. She pauses a number of times while she talks. Her voice gradually gets more and more agitated. After that, I can only watch as they kill you. Do you remember when you started having this dream? She shakes her head, which is turned to face the floor again, and then answers. I don't remember exactly, but it might have been ever since I first came here with you. Why didn't you tell me sooner? Sorry, I don't mean to sound angry, but if coming here is causing you undue stress, then... That's not it at all. I love spending time with you and brewing coffee together. Doing so helps me to understand that it's just a dream, nothing more. It's just... It's just that I hate seeing you die in front of my eyes. Even in a dream, I'd never ever want to see that. Never! Her voice falters on her final word. I can see the tears welling up in her eyes. I keep having the same dream over and over. That's not a dream. There's no doubt that what she's seeing is the cause of my death. A number of questions pop up in my head, but most of all, I'm flat out shocked. I never would have guessed that she's been having a dream like that based on her attitude, especially when my own memory of the event is fuzzy at best. Don't worry, Naomi. It's okay. I'm right here. There's still so much more I want to do together with you, Rinka. I want to bake cookies. I want to go to the theme park again. So you won't die all of a sudden, will you? I can't force myself to nod in response. After all, I'd already be dead if it weren't for divine selection. What she's dreaming about actually took place. It's just been undone for the time being. It makes me wonder, when Parka said our deaths had been undone, did she mean that the world's memories of the events themselves have been rewritten? I can't wrap my mind around how such a thing could even be possible. However, the fact of the matter is that Naomi's memory of my death is so deeply ingrained in her being that she's reliving it over and over in her dreams. Please, answer me. Sorry. Oh no, I didn't want you to apologize, but well, I do want an answer to my question. So long as you do that, I'm sure I'll be fine, even if I have the same dream again. Sorry, but I desperately hold myself back from saying something I'll regret. I'm far worse at lying than I thought, judging by how I keep apologizing and evade the question. Her head is cast downward, but her eyes are glancing up at me. The tears in her eyes are a lot more obvious than before, and it's my fault that she's crying. If there's anything on your mind, then please talk to me about it. The last thing I want is for you to just disappear someday. She says this with a resolute voice, despite her eyes being filled with tears. It just makes my heart ache all the more, though. She's likely to be haunted by that dream for a long time, assuming I keep the truth from her. And yet, telling her won't change the fact that I'm a participant. What's worse, I may even get her caught up in something dangerous if she decides she wants to try to help me out. I can't say for sure how dangerous this whole situation is, but at the very least, I want to make sure she never comes in contact with those people from the dream world. Most of all, I'd have to reveal the fact that Miharu is also a participant, and that only one of us will make it through this whole thing alive. Keeping her in the dark would mean I don't burden her with my situation. Actually, there's something I need to tell you too. This might worry you even more. In fact, you might not even believe me. That said, will you listen to what I have to say? Of course. She answers without hesitation. Just as I'm about to start my explanation, the chime on the door rings. Sorry, can we stop here until tomorrow? Do you mind if I wait until you close for the night? I'd hate to keep you here that long. Besides, I think it's better if we take a breather. Don't worry, I promise I'll tell you after school tomorrow. Okay. She nods enthusiastically and then helps put the tableware away. She leaves as I get back to work. Meanwhile, I try to focus on my work as much as possible to distract myself from my own uneasiness. Good morning. Good morning. Miharu is already here when I get to school. She gives me her usual smile before she continues. Rinka! Naomi comes running over to me from the gate. Oops. Uh-oh. She almost trips in her haste, but she manages to catch herself. Seems like she's just as clumsy as ever when she lets her guard down. She's been waiting for me at the school gate, just like she said she would yesterday. There's little point in her coming all the way to my classroom anyway, considering it's a big detour for her. Sorry for the wait. Mind if we go somewhere else to talk? There's a nice place near Lion House. We're not going to Lion House then? Nah, the weather's nice today, so might as well be outside. Okay, following that, we both make our way to the station. One transfer from Shinjuku to the metro, and two stops later, you'll find this park. There's an entrance fee, but it's fairly inexpensive. It's one of the biggest parks in Tokyo, and it's apparently an old samurai's garden back in the day. I'm not sure why, but it was restructured to resemble a mix between Japanese, English, and French parks. There are normally tourists all over the place, but it's a lot less busy on weekdays. That makes it ideal for a change of pace. I came here a lot when I was a kid. There's one place in particular that I really enjoyed visiting. Is this where you wanted to come? It's nice, isn't it? There's a small bench in the middle of the garden. We sit down there taking in the surroundings and the Clock Tower S building in the distance. Few buildings in Shinjuku stand out as much as that one. Part of me wants to say it's the building for a telephone company. The sound of the greenery whispering in the wind is nice and relaxing. An odd sensation washes out over me out of nowhere. It makes me wonder whether or not I've actually been here before, but I'm sure of it. I know I've been here plenty of times as a kid. Oh, sorry, I'm fine. I take a deep breath and get ready to tell her all about Divine Selection. So, where do I even begin? I guess it doesn't matter when it'll sound like I'm making it all up anyway. Rinka. Well, that wasn't necessary. She utters my name in a painful manner once I finished telling her everything. She started to get teary-eyed midway, but I kept going. I doubt she would want me to stop without painting her the whole picture. And I'm glad they spared us that retelling of the story. She nodded attentively from beginning to end, as if to reassure me that the decision to tell her was the right one. I knew something was weird all along. You were speaking fluent English despite not knowing the language at all when we first talked about that book. Everything started ever since then. But you are alive, Rinka. I can tell you that much as a fact. Saying that, she takes my hand in hers. The surface of her hand is cold, but I can feel her warmth underneath. There's no doubt the same goes for me. That warmth serves as proof that I'm alive. Yeah, I know. But, well, it seems like that shouldn't be the case.
I
I'm sorry for saying what I did without understanding the situation you're in. Not like I would expect you to, considering I never mentioned it. She doesn't doubt what I have to say for a second. Chances are that my cause of death lines up with her dream so much that she has no choice but to believe it. It gives her an answer as to why she's having that dream too, although it does nothing to resolve the situation at hand. Not only are you in this situation, but Miharu as well. I wasn't sure whether or not I should tell her about Miharu, but I decided to do so in the end. On one hand, there's no point in trying to keep certain things to myself. On the other, I simply gave in to my desire to lighten my own burden. What's more, she said she's prepared. She's referring to Miharu's statement regarding her own participation, that she's willing to give her life for mine. I wouldn't be able to say the same if I were in her shoes. Same here. I don't want Miharu to die, but I don't have it in me to willingly let her make it through either. Two weeks have passed now, and I'm still not sure what I should do. I don't think you can be blamed for that. Another breeze blows through, catching our hair. It's a surprisingly cold breeze for this time of year. I can see the sunset off in the distance. The mixture of blue and orange on the horizon somehow resembles a wavering heart to me. Miharu is very strong-hearted, isn't she? Yes, she is. She's the complete opposite of me. She knows exactly what she wants to do, whereas I'm sitting here unable to make any sort of decision. She might have already gotten started on gathering info based on the cards she's received. In fact, I'm certain she has. The determination in her eyes makes it apparent. Her attitude at school isn't any different from usual, but that's just further proof of her resolve. There's no doubt she's doing as much research as she can elsewhere, and she's doing it all for my sake. I'd say that all the time she's been spending at work lately was just a front for said research, but that'd be overthinking things. That's something she's been doing for a while now. Thanks for hearing me out, Naomi. I feel a bit better having talked to someone about this. I still don't know how I should approach this whole situation, but for now, I'll just focus on going about life as usual for a bit longer. Saying that, I get up off the bench. Or I try to, but Naomi stops me by grabbing my sleeve. Can you wait for 5 more minutes? I've come to a personal conclusion myself. A personal conclusion? She nods firmly in response. I want to help you, Rinka. Things can't continue like this. It may be somewhat selfish of me to say when I'm not in your shoes, but... You need to face reality. You can't keep running from it. Running from it? It's not that I'm struggling to make a choice. I'm simply avoiding it altogether. Naomi made sure to be as frank as possible with her words, and they turned my entire world upside down. The reality that I've been running from, my responsibility to choose whether I'll live or die, finally sinks in. There we are. Before I know it, the sky has been dyed entirely in orange. At the very least, I can help you gather information. I'll even be able to meet those other participants face to face since they don't know who I am. Most importantly, though, I can help share the burden you've been pressured with. Naomi, her words are filled to bursting with resolve. There's nothing we can do to change the fact that it could come down to either you or Miharu making it through, but if you continue like this, things may end even before that. Hey, Naomi, there's something I've just realized myself. She turns to face me, waiting for my follow-up comment. Having the truth put in front of me like that makes me realize what I'm most afraid of. I'm terrified of what I have to do to make it through this. Not only Miharu, but I also have to eliminate others to ensure my own survival. Is my life even worth casting aside the lives of others for? I'm not too sure about that. I mean, I don't even know my own regret. I've seen the expressions of those who were mere moments away from being elected. I would describe them as sad, angry, or even accepting. They simply looked powerless in the face of what was about to happen. They were the faces of people who died without being able to fulfill what they wanted out of life. Meanwhile, I'm not sure if I have that much invested into anything to begin with. That's why part of me feels like my life isn't worth being saved in exchange for theirs. Is it not enough that people like myself and Miharu want you to live? I can't say for sure whether or not eliminating others for your own sake is the right thing to do. What I can say, though, is that I don't want you to die, no matter what. If the idea of committing that sin scares you, then at the very least, share half of that responsibility with me. Naomi, why would you go this far? Why would she go this far for my sake? Before everything was undone, you chose to prioritize my life over your own. That's the kind of person you are, but that's irrelevant now. I'm willing to go this far because it's for you, Rinka. That's all there is to it. Huh? That's weird. Why do I want to cry now? She turns her gaze towards the sky, desperately trying to fight back the tears that are ready to fall at any moment. It's a weird time to have a thought like this, but I can't help but consider just how vast the sky truly is. Naomi has nothing but praise for the coffee I make. She's made me realize that I am avoiding reality. That, and a number of other important things. Promise me you won't do anything dangerous. The tears have started to stream down her face by the time I say that. Alright, just 1 second, folks. Powerful wind today. You might be able to hear it. Okay. I can't die from anything other than elimination during divine selection, but the same doesn't apply to you. Promise me that you won't do anything that'll put you at risk. Unable to get the words out, she bites her lower lip and nods her head. That being said, allow me to formally ask you, Naomi, would you please help me get through divine selection? There's no need for you to be so formal. I extend my right hand to her, which she takes. Her nervousness melts away with the beaming smile she gives me afterwards. Her tear-stained cheeks serve as a nice contrast to that. You really are a crybaby, aren't you? She says, and you could do with learning when it's okay to cry. No need to tease me. Her tears don't stop flowing, even though she's all smiles. Just then, the announcement comes that it is almost time for the park to close for the day. I take the opportunity to tell Naomi that I'll see her tomorrow, and then I make my way home. When I get back, I open up Lion House for a bit. After messaging Naomi during break time, I decide to keep the store closed tomorrow so we can focus on gathering intel and organizing our thoughts. I figure hitting up the library would be a good idea since we'll have access to newspapers and the like, but considering I still don't know where to start, I decide it's best for us to meet up there first. We don't need to worry about keeping quiet there at least. I also make sure to ask Naomi not to tell anyone else about this. Part of me considers telling Mal at first since we're close friends, but considering she's known Maharu for a lot longer than Naomi, I decide it's best not to. It'd be far too much of a burden for her to bear, and the last thing I want is to ruin the relationship the three of us have right now. Phew! Thinking back on everything that's happened so far, I get ready to close shop for the day. Barely any customers have come around, so I only have to clean up a few things. I clean up those things, carry in the signboard and some plants from outside, and put out the trash. The door looks a bit dirty too, so I make sure to wipe it down. While I'm wiping it, I hear footsteps heading my way. I don't pay them much mind, considering it's not rare for people to pass by at this time of night, but they stop right in front of the store. Sorry, but we're closed for the... Thinking it's a customer, I turn around to inform them that we're closed. But I stop mid-sentence when I see the woman to whom the footsteps belong. The moment I stand up straight, she grabs me by the shoulders, pushes me against the door, and then into the store. So you're Shishimai Rinka! Her words come out loud and rapid. Her voice sounds like her throat is ready to explode. Her first impression makes her seem desperate, but I'd say she's more anxious than anything else. That's why her shouting actually helps me to approach the situation with heightened composure. You're numeral 8, I take it. Rather than answering her question, I opt to shoot one right back at her. I don't know her name, but I recognize the face. She's one of the people I've seen in the dream world. Composed as I may seem, it's not enough to keep my nerves calm. I can feel myself working up a cold sweat. Even the most minor thing here could act as a hint for her, so I need to watch what I say. Answer me! She slams her hand against the door, closing the distance between us even more. And yet, I'm not afraid. Mainly because I keep in mind why she's so anxious in the first place. The only reason she's asking me is because she's not entirely sure that I am who she thinks I am. Meanwhile, numeral 12 gained her name card from the woman he eliminated during the first round, if memory serves. Answer me. I've got your card, so I know you're Shishimai Rinka. I don't doubt that I'd be panicking if this was numeral 11 or 12 asking, but it's the same dread I feel from competing with people like them that allows me to remain calm here and now. Compared to them, she looks like your average woman. Slender and pretty, although you can tell she looks overtired, there's no doubt she's been getting little sleep. She's wearing what I believe is a shawl atop a hospital gown. Tell me, what's your cause of death? What's your regret? My silence makes her all the more agitated. Was it suicide, an illness, school, love? Answer me. You need to calm down. My patient starts to wear thin, which causes me to place my hands on her shoulders and shove her away from me. I must have pushed her a bit too hard since she stumbles backwards. She falls and lands on the hard concrete. Oh, sorry. I apologize without thinking. Showing sympathy to other participants, my enemies in other words, probably isn't the best idea. Are you okay? I ask, but receive no answer. All she does is stare down at the ground and mutter something to herself. Following that, she collapses under her own weight. Whoa, hey, are you alright? I need to call an ambulance. No, I'm fine, so don't call an ambulance. I can get back myself. Fine is the last thing that comes to mind when I look at you. Just don't. Her sentence trails off there. Judging by her steady breathing, she seems to have fallen asleep as opposed to having passed out. I spot the name of the hospital she was admitted to written on the hem of her gown. It's only a 10-minute walk from here. Fine. She doesn't want to get in the ambulance for whatever reason, but I can't just leave her here. Fortunately, she's rather light, so I opt to give her a piggyback ride. This is tougher than I thought it'd be. After I lock the store up, I proceed to the hospital. When I arrive, the nurse I speak to showers me with praise. It's hardly surprising. I think most people would praise a high schooler who has obviously exhausted herself by carrying a patient all the way to a hospital in the middle of the night. The nurse wastes no time in taking her away, so I guess she really is a patient here. Thanks to this, I managed to learn her name as well. Kamabuchi Keiko. While she's always had a frail disposition, things have gotten worse for her once she gave birth. I don't pry any deeper, but I doubt they would have told me much more. The only reason they told me as much as they did was to make sure I knew who it was that I helped out in the first place. Actually, shouldn't that give me a new card? Parker mentioned that we'd obtain new cards whenever we discovered vital pieces of information in the real world. Ah, right, I need the book. Chances are I didn't get one because I don't have it with me. But let's see. Let's check the book. We do have the name. Oh no, she has that name. Okay, well those are the cards he's carrying. Okay, it's weird how that's set up. We don't even know everybody else's. She doesn't have all the names, but she's got one name. She's got her name and, Carminati. Chances are I didn't get one because I don't have it with me. I'm aware of its importance, but I tend to leave it behind since it's heavy. Either way, I should leave, considering visiting hours have long passed. Curious as I am about Keiko, I make my way back home. Once I return to my room and get ready for bed, I take a seat at the table on which my book rests. Well, this is new. Little bits of light are pouring out from between the book's pages. Needless to say, it's the first time I've seen this happen, in the real world, no less. I take a moment to prepare myself, and then I open it up. Whoa! The moment I do, the light begins to rise above the book itself. What's going on? All I can do is watch it as it eventually congregates to one spot almost 2 feet above my table. It eventually molds itself into a rectangular shape, well, to be more specific, the shape of a card. Once the transformation is complete, the light dissipates. The card floats in midair for a brief moment before it quietly lays itself to rest atop the book. So this is how new cards are made. I can't hide my surprise over witnessing something like that happening in the real world. Something similar happened in the dream world, but it's a whole different experience when it happens in your own room. I pick up the newly formed card. It's exactly the same as the others I have in terms of shape and make. The only difference is the content written on it. Yep. 8. Name. Kamabuchi Keiko. As expected, it's Keiko's name card. That's all, though. I still don't know her cause of death or regret. She was hospitalized after giving birth, right? In that case, it has to be related to that. The first ailment that comes to mind from childbirth is... Ouch! My head starts to hurt all of a sudden. Doesn't take long for me to realize why, either. It's because I just remembered how desperate Keiko looked. The way she was acting earlier proved that her regret ran deeper than I could comprehend. What I'm doing right now is akin to walking all over that. The more I try to imagine the circumstances of her death, the worse the pounding in my head becomes. That's when I remember Naomi's proposition to shoulder the burden along with me. I'm not prepared to handle this alone quite yet. Today's done a good job of showing me just how weak I am. Rather than thinking about this anymore, I turn my light off and choose to sleep instead. Alright, let's check the cards. Yep, I have the name. Yo, Rinny. Morning, Mao. I noticed Miharu getting ready for classes as usual when I arrive at school. Seeing her reminds me of the realization I came to yesterday, which prompts me to say something odd to Mao. Miharu is really strong-hearted, isn't she? You think? I'd say it's the opposite. Her voice and tone are lower than usual. Huh? Anyway, let's get back to the daily grind. She returns to her usual self right away, almost as if to avoid continuing on with that topic. Once school has ended, I meet up with Naomi before heading over to the library on our way back to Lion House. Fortunately, the library is only 5 minutes away from Lion House and on the very same path I took to get to the hospital last night. I make sure to fill her in on what happened last night as we make our way there. Her first reaction is to express her concern about me. She crinkles her nose when I mention that Keiko seems to have had a rougher go at life than I have, but then sighs in relief afterwards. Once at the library, we gather up some books regarding pregnancy. Part of me doesn't want to at first, since we'll be painting a rather dubious image of ourselves. Then again, this isn't the time to be worried about that. Having gotten what we need, we next make our way back to Lion House and spread the books out on one of the tables. Alright, let's see whether or not these have any information regarding illnesses or complications that could be linked to her cause of death. Right. She announces the plan with seemingly little issue. I can tell she's forcing herself to act composed. Normal people like us shouldn't have any reason to investigate someone's death like this. It doesn't help that it feels like we're digging into someone's private life without consent. That's one of the reasons behind my headache last night. Not to mention that, in this case, it's about someone who's still alive. I picked up one of the books closest to me. While thinner than the card book, it's packed full of text. I probably shouldn't try my hand at a book like this when I know absolutely nothing about medicine. Thinking that, I pick up another one only to reach the same conclusion. The only stuff I read other than manga are novels, so ideally there'll be something a bit simpler among all these. As I think this over, it leads me to repeating the same scenario over and over in my mind. Rinka? What's wrong? Are you, not well-versed when it comes to books? She's using the book in her hands to obscure her face from below the eyes, which are glued to me. Not really, but I mean, aren't these a bit too difficult? You should have said... her voice actor just really goes on for a while. You should have said so when we were at the library. I could have picked out some of the simpler ones. That makes it pretty clear that I left Naomi in charge of picking out what books to get. I figured that'd be best considering she's a bit of a bookworm. I take it you're not big on studying then? I nod my head after a brief hesitation. I wouldn't say I'm bad at studying, but there's no point in putting up a front, especially when my grades tell a different story. I'll give it a shot, though. Can't let you do all the work for my sake. I pick up another book and peruse the table of contents. Naomi hides part of her face behind her book again, and... But I can see how focused her eyes are on its contents. 2 hours later, I feel my concentration vanish into thin air. Let's take a break. Naomi? What is it? Dang, your concentration level is off the charts. How about a quick break? Oh, that sounds like a good idea. She closes her book after I make my offer. I guess she's finished reading that one too, which makes for a total of 3 so far. Meanwhile, I'm still stumbling through my first. The difference in reading speeds between someone who reads often and someone who doesn't is rather striking. The difference in reading speeds between someone who reads often and someone who doesn't is rather striking. I brew up some coffee for the both of us and bring it over to the table. Thank you very much. I feel like this is the first time in a while that I've gotten half some of your coffee. You might be right. I've spent so much time teaching her how to make coffee that I actually haven't had so much opportunity to make some for her myself. It's always nice watching Naomi drink the coffee I make, considering how much she seems to enjoy it. So managed to find anything worthwhile? I've picked up on something myself, in truth. But asking for Naomi's input first seems like the best idea. I did. First of all, it turns out that there is an extremely low mortality rate for women during childbirth. The book I've been reading says the same thing. Based on a study from 2014, only 3 out of 100,000 mothers died while giving birth. That's actually very low. I'd assume Keiko's in her 20s or 30s. Even if it's the latter, there's only a 0.03% chance of it happening to her. For comparison's sake, a person's much more likely to be involved in some sort of fatal traffic accident than that. This stuff actually caught my attention while reading because it'll be relevant to me at some point in the future. Seems like Naomi read about the same study. You'd think we were revising test materials together or something. Doesn't the fact that there... Doesn't the fact that there are so few cases make it easier for us to determine the cause, though? I thought the same myself, but how much information do we need to be able to turn it to a card to begin with? The cards I have... The cards I have that detail causes of death only say stuff like fire, so I assume you need the general idea. Or to be fair, you just need the general idea. Like, you don't need a lot of information, just one word usually on how somebody died. I see. You mentioned that the process involves giving thoughts a tangible form, didn't you? Yep, but it's not like I know how it actually works. In that case, it's likely that you need to believe in your thoughts for them to be considered for a tangible form. Now the conversation's getting a bit complicated. I take a moment to mentally sort out all the info. The process behind making new cards involves giving information. Thoughts what? The process behind making new cards involves giving information, thoughts rather, a tangible form. Parka explained that much herself. How does one distinguish which piece of information is correct and turn that into a card then? Sorry, I should have explained it in simpler terms. Basically, I'm curious about the circumstances around which a card is created. For example, would one be made if you happen to correctly guess a cause of death or regret while having a casual conversation with someone? Or do you need to state the details loud and clear with certainty, like one would when presenting evidence in a legal trial? Ah, now I get what you mean. I cast my mind back to these past 2 weeks. I'm not the most chatty person, but I've definitely had a good number of conversations during that time. Chances are good that I've discussed things related to relevant information, so by that logic, I should have some extra cards already. And yet, yesterday was the first time I obtained a new card. In that case, it's probably the latter scenario that's required in order to make new cards. I feel it's the latter myself. If the former were the case, one could likely read through an entire dictionary and hit upon everyone's cause of death and regret. That doesn't sound very thrilling. I'm sure people would resort to such a method when they know their lives are on the line. That serves to remind me about how desperate Keiko looked. I could tell she had a specific force driving her. Knowing that, chances are high that she'd read through all kinds of stuff if it meant possibly obtaining more cards. It's the same reason behind why you can't obtain a card detailing your own cause of death, I believe. We need something more concrete than your hazy memory in my dream. So in the end, it's all up to me remembering the exact details of what happened that day. I can't see myself doing that today, at least. The fact that it's yet to come back to me probably means I need something specific to trigger my memories. I push those thoughts away and Naomi back to the topic at hand. This is my personal conjecture, but it seems that blood loss is the most common cause of death during pregnancy, meaning the same would apply to Keiko. Knowing that's not enough, though, is it? I need to understand the precise details that led to its occurrence in the first place. The lack of any new card materializing proves that. Books alone probably won't give us all the answers then. How about I pay her a visit? Then again, I'd probably get kicked out first. I'm well aware of how much my hair causes me to stand out. Oh. What is it? I said we should take a break, but this hardly counts as one, huh? I gotta hand it to you. You're really reliable when it counts. Glad to hear it. I say that, but I can tell she's pushing herself pretty hard. It's clear from the way she's speaking that she's more nervous than usual. The same goes for me as well. There's no way we could have a happy chat about someone's possible cause of death. However, I'm not getting a headache like when I tried to do this on my own. Her being here to shoulder part of the burden really does make things easier to bear. Now the issue is how we go about digging deeper. Oh, I forgot that I brought some sweets with me. I didn't make these myself, though. Saying that, she produces some chocolate, which I happily partake of because anime waifus just do not gain fucking weight. They can just eat chocolate and cookies and everything else, and they just never gain weight at all. It's amazing. The sweet sensation that spreads throughout my body is almost enough to make me shiver with joy. You really can't beat a good dose of sugar. They do say that it's good for your brain. My mom always brings me some when I'm studying. What is it? I just realized a simple solution. If we want accurate info, then I should go and speak with her family. Isn't that a bit dangerous? Risky, sure. But there's a lower chance of me being caught than you. I'll make sure to go in plain clothes since you carried Keiko to the hospital in your school uniform. Wouldn't she have asked them not to reveal anything about her? I'm fairly certain an adult like her would have reservations about bringing up the dream world to others. If anything, she'd advise them to keep quiet without giving any specifics. She has a point. I had no issue telling her everything, but there's no way I'd tell one of our teachers, for example. I'd probably be fine with telling my grand, but definitely not my parents if they were around. That goes double if I were Keiko's age. I promise I won't do anything too dangerous, so please leave this to me. I'm more worried about your acting skills. Please don't be so blunt. She once again tucks her face behind a book, then pops part of it back out to speak with me, back to speak to me after a moment. I'll do my best though, especially when it's for your sake. You really are reliable, aren't you? As for when I should go, I'd say the weekend is my best bet. How so? Her family is likely to visit at night during the week. In fact, they might not even be able to visit at all if it gets too late. Meanwhile, her husband at the very least should stop by during the weekend. I'm best off doing this as soon as possible, so I'll aim for this Saturday. Got it. I'm coming with you, though. I'll hide somewhere nearby so you can scream if anything happens and I'll come get you. She nods her head in response, understanding that I won't back down. We try to discuss other possibilities regarding her death after that, but it basically turns into a study session about pregnancy. After walking Naomi to the train station, I make my way back to Lion House. Alright. And that's where we're going to stop today. Hasn't been very action-packed, but we learned a lot about certain characters. So kind of curious about how the woman died. At least we know her name's Keiko, and we're gonna hopefully find out what happens with that. It's good to see Naomi and Rinka working together. Two heads are better than one, and hopefully things will work out. Don't know, depends on the choices I've made in the game. I'm doing this completely without a walkthrough or anything, so we're just gonna see how things go and what ending I get. At any rate, you guys, this is the Grimlord, and I am out of here. Later.